You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It is that time again, the hour of power. You're listening to the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. This is your host, Dale the Truth, and we say welcome abroad. It's a bumpy ride, so strap yourselves in. And we opened up tonight with a new one for us here. That was our good friend Tatiana Moros and her cover of Bob Dylan's Masters of War. We thought that was appropriate because of all the phony wars that we have going on around the world. And we won't wait too long till we get to the phone lines because we know people are already lined up there. We see a couple of our good friends there. And today on the calendar is Thursday, February 28th, 2013. We will start out, as always, with this week in history. This week in 1781, the Articles of Confederation were ratified. You fast forward to 1862. This week in 1862, we had the first issuing of unbacked paper money. And then moving forward, 1947, on this week, the Truman Doctrine of Perpetual War began. And finally, one that we'll get back to in just a brief moment here, 20 years ago today, on this date, February 28th, in 1993, began the United States government military siege of the church in Mount Carmel in Waco, Texas. Now, going straight to the phone lines, and if you also want to join in, remember, if you're listening on your telephone and you want to be on the air, you press the 1 key, and we get you right on the air, or you can keep listening. We're live here every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com, on also the Louisville Politics page. You can also hear us on the iTunes and Stitcher. And I think we have our good friend Frank from calling way beneath the bunker in the People's Republic of Vietnam. Are you there, Frank?
Hey, Dale, I blew my cover big time today. I'll tell you about that later, but I'm just curious. I've listened to that song, Masters of War, by Tatiana Moroz. I don't know how many times, 15, 20 times. I still can't get through it without crying. And I know I'm not nearly as manly as you are, of course, because I went to UK, not U of L. That, by definition, makes me less manly than you. But can you get through that song without crying?
Okay, the audience agreed with you on your collective sports statement. No, it's a hard song to get through. It's a hard song to get through, Frank, and I was hoping it played out on the radio okay, because the technical machinery here didn't allow me to put it on the MP3 player.
The ending of that song is so poignant when she says, I'm going to watch you, I want to watch you die or something like that, and you can just feel the hatred that she feels toward these warmongers.
She covered that song from Bob Dylan, so it was an oldie but a goodie, and to hear her voice cover it, I thought we would mix that in there tonight. So we are glad you approve, because there are a lot of warmongers around the world, and we're not of that neocon faction that believes in going around the planet and conquering and pillaging and plundering. We would rather bring our troops home, and that's the thing about these wars. I'm a firm believer in, if you bring our troops home, then you don't have to worry about making new cemeteries to bury them off. You just let them come home and
live.
That's
right. The cemeteries for the military are nothing but memorials to war, to glorify war. It's like, see here, look at these glorious men that died for freedom. Now you've got to go over there and die for your freedom some more, you know?
Well, I opened up too, Frank, and I'm glad we had you on the line early, because I know that this is an topic of interest to you. The fact that 20 years ago today, for some of our audience who may be too young to remember this, I'm very impressed by how large our audience is getting, and the demographics are widespread, Frank. We have up to 1,000 people listening each week on Blog Talk, and also over on iTunes and Stitcher, and they may not know that 20 years ago today was the beginning of the Waco siege, and I believe you were telling me off the air that this was day one of 51 days, correct?
This is the 20th anniversary of day one of the siege, where the ATF came into the compound, they call it. You know, they try to demonize these people with language. They call them cult members, and charismatic cult leader David Koresh. And they try to, you know, they always insinuate that, you know, the people there were crazy, that people there were violent. These people were just trying to live a good Christian life by them, you know, off to themselves, to practice their religion how they see fit. And I don't agree with their religion, but that's not the issue. I don't agree with a lot of religions, but that's not my place to decide. It's not up to me to decide how you should live your life.
Correct. And you just said it well, Frank. You said they were practicing it the way that they wanted to practice it. And that's the thing. It doesn't matter if I agree with them or not, but we were talking last night on a show I co-host with Big Ed Springsteen, and how ironic when I told him that this is coming up on the 20th anniversary, we're still fighting this battle over guns. And I predicted this. I didn't have to be Nostradamus. It's like watching a football game and say, hey, you see that guy going down the 30-yard line? He's going to keep going until he gets to the end zone. And when it happens, they're like, my God, how did you see that happening, Dale? How did you know that was going to happen? When it was fairly obvious to me, if you look at what happened back in the November elections, you had two people running for the presidency, the reelection of dear leader Barack Obama and Big Rich Mittens Romney, and they both agreed on guns. So when Gun Owners of America tells you that they both had a failing record on guns, that Barack had an F and Mittens Romney had a D-, did we think that anything was ever going to happen on gun freedoms, Frank?
How could you know when you dropped that bowling ball, Bill, that it was going to hit the ground? How could you possibly have known that?
Damn that gravity.
Yeah, You know, what I find amazing is when there's some really, really good videos out there about the Waco tragedy. And yep. I didn't know a lot about it until about a year ago. And I watched this one video. It's maybe a two-hour video. I think it's called Waco Terms of Engagement. And
yep.
So they had an amazing amount of video, some of it by the ATF. And I don't know how the ATF ever was, you know, was stupid enough to release it, because usually they make these videos and then they lose them. You know, they keep them for themselves, I'm sure.
I don't know. It may have been Freedom of Information Act. I mean, I can remember the event pretty well. This event happened, Frank. I remember well. I was actually sitting in a classroom at the University of Louisville when this thing was going down, and I remember just looking over to a classmate, and we were discussing how we couldn't believe that they were doing this. And this was before Al Gore gave us the internet, before Al Gore started raping women in hotel rooms. This is before Fox News or 24-hour news coverage. I believe we had CNN, and that was about it. And like you said, these people are practicing their religion the way they want it. And that's what that First Amendment says, is that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of people peacefully to assemble and to petition government for redress of grievances.
Right, right.
And so, this event, like you said, started on this date 20 years ago. David Koresh was stockpiling weapons, and the ATF was notified.
You used a word there, Dale, stockpiling. Stockpiling.
Yeah.
No, I call that having a gun. You know, there's no limitation on how many guns you can have.
Right.
Call it what you want. But he was an authorized gun dealer, was he not? And so
he had a license to operate as a gun dealer. I do remember that.
That's how they made their money. That's a large part how they made their money. So you could say that about any gun dealer. A gun dealer stocks weapons, do they not? So you could say any gun dealer in America is stockpiling weapons. But just that word. Just that word has come to mean sort of, you know, has its own connotations of craziness and you know, hunkered down in your bunker. He didn't hunker down. He interacted with the town. He went into the town, you know, almost daily.
Yep.
He went into to buy groceries, to buy supplies. And the fact of the matter is, the ATF, had they wanted to, could have met him in town at any point and are simply arrested him.
Exactly.
The ATF wanted to make a big show out of this.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people listening, Frank, will think that we're being sympathetic to his cause, but we can tie this into a lot of things today because, again, they were attacking not only his guns, but his way of life. If that's the way that he benefited monetarily was in gun sales, because look at your friend right there in Lexington, your friend Jenny, and what they did to her store, trying to take away her right to run her business.
Well, I look at other things too. When you watch some of these videos and you see the blatant disregard the ATF has for the law and for human life, they went in there with guns blazing and they shot through the walls. These buildings were mostly wooden buildings, and they shot through the walls, and then they get in to testify and say, "We didn't fire a shot. We would never indiscriminately fire through a wall and endanger the lives of women and children." Well, that's exactly what they did.
Well, they don't do a very good job of hiding.
Women and children died.
They don't do a very good job of being coercive, if you will. They don't do a good very job of being hidden or stealth. The ATF started this thing, like I said, 20 years ago on this date, February 28, 1993, and any advance of surprise was immediately lost. I don't know if you read this part of the story, Frank, but...
I did, yeah.
Yeah, the reporter was tipped off about the raid, because he was asking directions from a United States Postal Service carrier who happened to be Koresh's brother-in-law.
Well, other than that, it's worse than that, Dale. The ATF actually notified the media ahead of time and said, "We're going to have an event today. You might want to show up." And so the media were actually starting to file into place outside of the compound prior to the ATF arriving. And so the people that lived there in their homes, that was their home. They were there, and they saw the media gathering, and they thought, "What the hell is going on? Why are the media showing up?" So they're looking outside. They're probably going outside and congregating. And then, you know, I think David Koresh told them to get inside, And so there were people in the ATF that said, we need to call this off. We need to call it off. And the commander didn't call it off.
And we don't know who was responsible, because we heard things from Janet Reno to Hillary to Bill Clinton. And this thing went on for 51 days. Like you said, Waco Rules of Engagement is a good documentary that William Gizecki did about it, that that the only time the ATF agents withdrew was after they ran out of ammunition. And even ATF agents...
They ran out of ammo. Can you believe that?
Yeah, the military, the ones, you know, imagine that, the U.S. government who's been stockpiling all the ammo recently. I guess they're not going to let that happen again. They learned from their mistakes when they let those... civilians off so easy with just being charcoal.
A billion rounds ought to cover most of their needs.
You would think. You'd think that's a lot of holes through flesh. So basically, you had this situation where you had five Branch Davidians killed in the beginning of the raid with a shootout with Steve Williams, Robert Williams, Todd McKeon, and Conway LeBlue, the ATF agents. And then you had another two killed of the agents at the hand of the Branch Davidians. And this thing went on and on with a shootout, and that was before the building caught fire. And like you said, we just saw this happen recently out in Big Bear, Lake California, where, surprise, surprise, we hear the LAPD and all these other people out in the hills of California calling to set a building on fire. And this was on their radios, but we're not supposed to hear this happen?
Right. It was eerily like the incident with Donor. How do you say his last name? Donor?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I don't know the proper pronunciation, but yeah, California.
The policeman. How many different vehicles did the LAPD shoot up just because they were similar, not the same, similar to the suspect's vehicle?
Yeah, so we'll get back into more of that on later shows, since we got 51 days of the siege to cover in the 20th anniversary. That was the first day, because you got to figure at 5 a.m. on that first day, they had 76 agents assembled at Fort Hood. Yes, the same Fort Hood where we later had a shootout just a year or two ago. The same.
I didn't think about that.
Yep. And then about this time, you figure right now it's about 1900 hours. At about this time, David Koresh, ironically, was being interviewed by CNN. And then the FBI told CNN they were not to conduct any further interviews, and of course they went along. But Frank, I'm just going to put you on a brief hiatus here, because I believe we got another one of our good friends who wants to get on the airwaves, and I want to say that this is our good friend Andy. Is this you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing,
Dale? Brother? What you got to say tonight about the 20th anniversary?
You guys were talking about that Branch Davidian thing. I was in my 30s when it happened.
Yep.
And like I said, I was telling you about that thing that happened in Philadelphia with that.
Yeah,
Yeah, but you know what's weird? I had a situation happen today to me.
Uh-oh.
I got a neighbor that's out of control.
Oh, dear.
I called 911 about the guy. You know what they're asking me?
There's no telling.
Do you have any weapons in your home? I'm like, everything is a weapon. Well, our officers need to be safe when they come to your home. I said, excuse me, did they take a job delivering cookies or dealing with, being policemen here?
Well, apparently they'd rather just get out their chalk and keep a clean chalk to draw the outline of the bodies after your neighbor might go go postal on you, Andy.
I got a neighbor that's really kind of ignorant. He's got this delusions about parking on a public street, but the thing is, this guy he's delusional, but he can be dangerous. And my thing is, do I want to give up my freedom because he's gonna threaten my life? He's done dead damage to my vehicle. Now if I go out there and shoot this fool, then I got to be judged. You know, the question is, how much do I want to give up my freedom to protect myself?
Yeah.
But I had to call him three times, man. I'm telling you, I'm getting ready to call my this council person. I don't know what the hell is this with this song and dance. If somebody is literally in the middle of an emergency, you want to stop and play Jeopardy with them.
Well, Andy, I keep telling everybody that it sounds like a bumper sticker slogan, but remember, when seconds count, the police will be there in minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, do you have any weapons? I got a broom. If I'm angry, I'm gonna swing it. I got kitchen utensils. All of a sudden, I'm a ninja with all these knives. Come on, not
Andy, you might have gotten too uppity for the dispatcher. They might not be able to handle you being all uppity with them.
I mean, I just told her, look, I'm trying to keep from using my weapons.
You understand?
I mean, oh my God. But this thing, guys, I tell you, you're talking about that stuff that happened out in L.A.
Yep.
You know what we haven't heard? And I know that you and Ed keep up with this. Have they buried the poor fella?
Well, they claim that he burned him to a crisp. They claim he was extra crispy, and there was even rumors that there was one guy who somehow had a friend who was involved with the coroner and who had, like, pictures of the guy in a body bag trying to sell them to the paparazzi. So apparently he was buried to a crisp. I don't know.
That guy was 6 feet tall, every bit of 265. Do you know how hot that fire would have had to been to burn, to actually incinerate his bones?
I know.
See, now, come on now.
I didn't believe the story, Andy. I just tell you the report.
I mean, we just need to call this what it was. They had made up their mind. They was gonna put him down wherever they found him. It was just that simple.
They shut off the radio waves. They shut off the over-the-air ham radios and airwaves of people trying to communicate on the police radios because they didn't want anybody hearing what's going on. And next thing you know, they give you instructions about how to light it up. So they had planned to burn this place down. It wasn't even this guy's cabin. I can't even say that it was this guy's cabin. It was some other poor person's vacation cabin that they found out later, oh, yeah, my cabin was just burned down because the government felt the need to do that in order to get this guy. So we're going to move on to our next topic here, Andy, and if you want to...
All right, buddy. Well, I just wanted to check in and tell you that the Louisville Police Department...
Sure, if you want to weigh back in, please let us know. But, again, we do want to move into some more topics that are going on here in the state. And I know one thing that that Frank over there in the People's Republic of Vietnam and I were talking about was this crazy story. If you've been following anything here in Kentucky, and I know we got a Kentucky audience and then we got a more national, international audience, and if people have been following this, Frank, the hemp issue is huge. As I told them last night on the Springsteen show, other states are going to go ahead of us, are going to just push us behind, which usually happens with Kentucky. We always get left behind. Mark Twain says when the world ends, he wanted to be in Kentucky because it always happens 20 years later. Frank, do you want to give the audience the latest on what went down?
Oh, sure. You know, if you just watch Daytona and you know anything about restrictor plate racing, you know that if one car pulls out and then, you know, nobody follows him, everybody passes.
Yeah.
Well, Kentucky's about to get freight trained by nine other states.
There's nine other states
that have hemp initiatives in place that are going to move forward on this issue. In the meantime, we've got three key people, key being one of the ironic words because one of the guys stopping this is Tom McKee.
Yep.
And so we had a hemp bill called Senate Bill 50 that went through the committee, passed unanimously 2 weeks ago, went through the Senate, passed the flying colors. Was it 31-6 or 38-6?
It was 31-6. You are correct. 31-6. And it went through the Senate committee unanimously.
So then it reaches the House yesterday, the House Ag Committee.
Ag Committee, yep.
And so there was a two-hour committee meeting. The first 50 minutes was devoted to the KSP. And you're going to love these lies. It reminded me a lot of the Waco testimony. They testified that you couldn't tell difference between hemp and marijuana.
Yeah.
They testified that you could smoke hemp and get high from it.
Of course.
And this is one of the funniest things to me. It was 2 weeks ago in the Senate committee, they testified that even with GPS, sometimes they would find a field from the air and then couldn't locate it on the ground. It's like, where did it go?
Yeah, imagine that.
The Twilight Zone, I guess, is growing marijuana. I don't know.
Well,
so,
Frank, when they come down there and they try to scare us and say, oh, my gosh, if we have hemp, someone's going to grow marijuana in the field, it's ludicrous. And as I sat here and told Ed last night on the show, we have a governor. Governor Steve Papal-Bashir is a blooming idiot. He is either He is either a useful idiot who believes the propaganda that he spews, or he is totally indebted to the Kentucky State Police, because you basically have him.
One of the two.
Yeah, you have Governor Papaw Steve Beshear, you have the Ag Chairman of the State House, Thomas McKee, and you got the State Police. They're on one side, and it's pretty much the entire state of Kentucky on the other side. And sadly, being the representative republic that we are, somebody somewhere out there in southeastern Kentucky, where's Thomas McKee at? Or northeastern Kentucky?
McKee's in Cynthiana, just north of Washington.
Okay, so yeah. Right, not too far from you. Yeah, and so yeah, those people elected him. They may not elect him again, and I've heard talk of people trying to get together a pack to go after him. Not like a wolf pack, but a super pack. And I just want to tell people about what went down with this, because basically you had a point of order made by Representative Steve Rudy, and then he was overruled by Chairman McKee, and they immediately recessed.
Well, you had a second
right,
to go
right.
with that.
Right, you're right. And he immediately recessed the committee.
Not quite. But just barely. It's worse than that. When the guy that did the second was ruled out of order, he said, "Let's put this to a vote." And McKee said, "You can't. You're out of order." And he said, "Wait a minute. I've got a motion. I've got a second. What do you mean I'm out of order?" And McKee said, "This committee was called to hear arguments for the substitute bill, and it's a very technical thing."
Yep.
But the thing is they never really discussed the differences between the original bill and the substitute bill. It was all a very generic argument about the merits of hemp.
But the substitute bill, Frank, from what I understand, our good friend Clint Hardy of Kentucky Anti Grassroots Radio was in Frankfurt for this yesterday. The substitute bill, from what I understand, was a total charade. It was just going to be funneling a bunch of money instead of the hemp committee over to the University of Kentucky to, quote-unquote, study the issue.
Right. They just want to shelve it. They want to study it some more. It's been studied to death. We don't need to study it anymore. And so, they, you know, the thing is this was like with 5 minutes left to go.
Oh, yeah.
McKee had never mentioned the vote.
No.
Never mentioned the vote. He had no intention of voting on it. So then they say, well, McKee says, let's bring the committee back at 4:30 and let's discuss this some more.
Yeah.
And so, what's his name? I can't pronounce it right. Descarez?
Yeah, I didn't know
about that. The guy that did the second.
Yeah, Descarez, yeah.
He asked the question. He said, let me get this straight. He said, if we want to put the substitute bill for a vote, will that be out of order? And McKee said, no, we can do that. And then he asked the question, he said, well, what if we decide we don't want to vote on the substitute bill? What if we decide we want to vote on Senate Bill 50 as is? Will that be out of order? And McKee's words, and I think this is an exact quote, is, we'll see.
Yeah, he actually said that. And then the committee later on, from what Clint Hardy tells us, being a correspondent on this issue, Clint actually published an article about this. And I'll put this in the chat room for folks who drop by in there over at LouisvillePolitics.com, Ed Springsteen's webpage. Clint wrote a quick article overnight to put together about his witnessing of the way this thing went down. And I'm just going to read from this quickly, because basically what Clint is saying here in this article is then when they went back, as you know, as some of our audience knows, we're informing the rest, they went back to have this committee later on, and the meeting was canceled, but in the intermission, Greg Stumbo, the State House Speaker, met behind closed doors with McKee.
I didn't know that part.
I knew
the meeting was canceled, but I didn't
know
that
Clint
part.
Yeah, Clint wrote that about how they were meeting over in a corner in some broom closet somewhere, because supposedly Stumbo ordered McKee to hold an unannounced meeting in his personal office, and then you have this charade, and I brought this up to Clint last night. He put it in his article. I said, Clint, this has to violate the Kentucky Open Records laws.
Probably violated a whole lot of things.
Has to violate the Kentucky Open Records laws. That's what Clint added to his article. But the late notice meeting, Frank, did not include the voters of the Commonwealth. It did not involve a quorum of the 28 legislators, but only McKee and 2 to 4 of his committee members.
Well, it's all being very, it's been being done behind closed doors. And everybody knows McKee doesn't want to bring it to the light of day. Stumbo doesn't want to, have a hearing on it, and they don't want to have a vote on it because it might pass. Beshear won't sign it,
And you know what's sad, Frank? If it wasn't such a good bill, we love this bill. It's almost karma coming back to bite the Republican establishment in the ass. Because as I joked with Clint last night, he called into Ed Springsteen's show. As I joked and said last night, so you got people having meetings without quorums, meeting without representatives, hiding the meetings, unannounced meetings. I was like, hell, this could be the state Democrats, or this could be the local Republican Party.
Well, they're one and the same, are they not? It's just two factions of the
one
Uniparty
has become.
So
yeah, Ed and I call them the Uniparty. So in the aftermath, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, Agriculture Chairman McKee lied to the citizens of Kentucky. Yes, you have two legislators standing against the entire will of the populace of the Commonwealth. And the chairman lies to the citizens via the press that the hemp bill is stalled, quote-unquote, and that the standing committee
right.
members have too many questions to ask, and that committee members do not wish to reconvene the hearing.
Yeah, well, you know, the senator, Hornback announced today, and I think this is wishful thinking. I don't think that this is based on anything other than the hopes that maybe they can put pressure on McKee. Hornback apparently announced today that the bill will get another hearing in the Ag Committee on the House side. I honestly don't think that'll happen, but it could. It could.
From what I understand,
I hope it does.
Yeah, from what I understand, the only way I think, from my mediocre, not quite novice, but not quite professional knowledge of the way they do things over there in that legislature, from what I understand, Frank, it could come to the floor by a, what is the word I'm looking for? I'm losing the word tonight. Not a petition. What is the word?
There's a discharge. There's a discharge petition or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
There's so many members on the House floor asked that can bring it to the floor for a vote on a discharge. But this is the state House.
That's
and
true.
Yes, and it's 55-45 Democrat all there. And yes, we said it's all the Uniparty. But what's the likelihood that they're going to get, I think it's like 17 or 18 representatives have to stand and want to have this discharge in order to get to the House floor. So I don't know. I guess the jury's still out. I guess we don't know where this is going to play out, but I think it's very sad that you see all the polls, even the mainstream press has to admit that the people are for this. Our agriculture
right.
commissioner, Jamie Comer, has been with us, and our citizen legislative group, Take Back Kentucky, for years has been on this. We have Republican Senator Rand Paul on this. We have Republican Congressman Thomas
even
Massey. You have the neocon Republican Senator Mitch McConnell. You have our own local Louisville Congressman, Democrat John Yarmuth. You have all the farmers. You have many of the newspapers are finally starting to wake up. You have all the people around Louisville and Lexington. And they don't want to give the people what the people want. So you are listening, folks, to the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. If you want to call in and join in the conversation of what I'm talking about, what our guest Frank from the People's Republic of Vietnam are talking about here, we're talking a little bit about the hemp issue. We're going to go to our bottom of the hour break, and we'll come back and talk about yet another unconstitutional U.S. Supreme Court decision this week. Oh, goody. We'll be right back.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look down yonder, Gabriel. Put your feet on the land and sea. But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Mm-hmm. Well, meet me, Jesus, meet me. Meet me in the middle of the air. And if these wings don't fail me, I will meet you anywhere. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, meet me, mother and father. Meet me down the river road. And mama, you know that I'll be there when I check in my load. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dale the Truth here on the My View Matters Radio Network with the TNT Radio Show, Thursday Night Truth. And we're going into the break, and we play a little bit more of our favorite music there in the intermission. That was the late, great Johnny Cash, the greatest musician of all time, in my humble opinion. And it was his birthday yesterday. Johnny Cash would have been 81 years old had he lived, and that was Ain't No Grave by Johnny Cash. And I'm going into the break, and I teased the story there I was going to bring up about yet another horrible, unconstitutional decision by the nine people who wear the black muumuus called the Supremes, the U.S. Supreme Court. And I teased that we were going to talk about another wrong decision that they got, another 5-4 decision. And our good friend Paul Hossie in the chat room says, Constitution, what Constitution? And I guess what we could do, they used to have milk cartons back in the day when something was missing. We put them on the side of milk cartons. You still with me, Frank?
Yes, sir, I am.
And I think, Frank, what we need to do is we could take raw milk, we could put it in cartons, and on the side of the raw milk cartons, we could put, Have You Seen Me, U.S. Constitution.
I prefer the glass bottles, but yeah, either one.
I mean, you know, the cartons of milk, the homogenized milk with all the chemicals in it. They used to do the Have You Seen Me with a bunch of little crumb crunchers on the side that were missing. So I figured we should put on the side of it, Have You Seen Me, U.S. Constitution, you know, 200X years old, haven't been seen in a long damn time. If found, you know, don't report it, that kind of thing.
Do all milk people prefer the glass bottles?
Oh, I understand. But it's official, Frank. The Fourth Amendment is dead. If you didn't get the memo, Frank, the Supreme Court pretty much disemboweled the Fourth Amendment this week. I don't like coming to the airwaves and reporting to the hundreds of live listeners and the thousands of archive listeners that yet another bad decision by the nine people in the black muumuus. And that's what happened, because on Tuesday, the Supreme Court ruled that citizens cannot challenge government wiretapping laws. In particular, citizens cannot challenge the unconstitutional, my words, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978, and more recently, the FISA Amendments Act of 2008. And according to Justice Samuel Alito, millions of Americans should not expect the government to withhold the Constitution and prevent the NSA from conducting dragnet surveillance. Your comments, Frank?
Well, you know, and I know that they're just announcing what they intend to do, that the Constitution has been dying and almost dead for a number of decades. And typically it's that what happens is they codify or codify, whatever the word is, what their actual practice is after the fact. So the law is just sort of the public announcement of, hey, this is what we're doing to you.
Yeah.
Get used to it.
Well, last August, we had the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco, the Ninth Circus, as we sometimes call it, where they dismissed a story or a case of the Al Haramain Islamic Foundation versus Obama. Yeah, believe it or not, there was an Islamic Foundation in a case versus Obama. That kind of go against the neocons who think that all the Muslims and Obama are together out to get us. But this case last August was a so-called sovereign immunity issue, and the government tells us in this court case that NSA warrantless wiretap program was illegal. If you go back 2 or 3 years, this is now December 2010, there's a court case that said the warrantless wiretap program was illegal. But you have a near-perfect scheme for the government, this FISA, or FISA amendment of 2008, allows the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court to rubber stamp surveillance requests of the supposed terrorists. I mean, who's watching the hen house and who's guarding the fox guarding the hen house? The Justice Department claims, of course, Frank, that there are over a million terrorists in America. You know, they got to take care of it.
By terrorists, they just mean people that don't want to go along with what they want.
Right, non-sheep.
That's all it really means, you know.
Right, people who aren't drinking the Kool-Aid, aren't taking the right color pill, and aren't otherwise sheep, exactly. And it's official,
People have a different opinion, yeah.
Right, and the feds are not obliged to identify a target, and they can conduct a surveillance a week before making a court request. So they can plan this all out, and they say, okay, next week, in the first week of March, we'll do a surveillance, and then the following week we'll make a court request, and boom, we get whatever we want. And surveillance can continue in the unlikely event that the request is denied. I mean, what? Ever since we had the September 11th, 2001, and we had this unpatriotic Patriot Act, it allows federal agents to write their own search warrants. I get in trouble with the big government liberals and the neocon Republicans when I say this, but it allows them to write their own search warrants in violation of the Fourth Amendment, and does away with the warrant requirement. Blatantly unconstitutional, Frank.
Well, of course, and you know, when you follow the pattern of government, not just the American government, but all governments, quite often, as they're, you know, I shouldn't say that on the air, when they're bending you over, I use that phrase, bending you over, they will announce, I'm not bending you over. I'm not inserting my penis in your rectum. I'm not raping you while they're doing it.
Well, that's how TSA takes their lessons from. And our good friend Paul in the chat room says they can monitor and request electronic information without a warrant, according to Google. And we know Google's right in bed with the U.S. government. I mean, they're willingly participating in all the fellatio that goes on in the bedroom between the government and Google. But again, Alito had this argument, and it's the most twisted argument. Alito had this argument that rested on the fact that FISA is a secret court, quote, yet respondents have no actual knowledge of the government's targeting practices. And it makes no sense. And Alito, get this band of brothers here. Alito was joined by John Roberts, Anthony Kennedy, Antonin Scalia, and Clarence Thomas, saying that this was okay. And believe it or not, in this bizarre world, the ones who were on our side and the Fourth Amendment side were Breyer, Ginsburg, Kagan, and Sotomayor.
Well, don't you imagine with the NSA having the powers that they've had for years to listen in on people, don't you imagine that for decades, ever since the technology has existed, that the NSA has tapped whoever's phone they wanted, whenever they wanted? Their very existence depends upon being able to do anything they damn well want at any time they damn well want. And I'm not surprised. Are you surprised?
Well, now it's like surveillance on steroids, Frank, because I'm kind of glad I'm one of the last holdouts. I don't have one of these quote-unquote smartphones. I'm still a smart person with a dumb phone, because I was reading an article today, and I don't know if this was at BuzzNet or this was Wired Magazine or where this was, but I was reading an article today that showed all the layout of all the information they could gather from you by just kind of hacking into your smartphone. And I say they, meaning the police department.
Well, when you look at all the range of information that you're willingly turning over with your phone, if you're like me, I get on the internet all the time on my phone. I get on Facebook all the time on my phone. I use GPS. And you know, anybody that's crazy enough to put their GPS location on Facebook gets whatever they deserve.
it's just ruling from Tuesday. It basically pits the Fourth Amendment into the trash. I mean, it shows that any illusion, any grandeur of illusion that we had about standing firm against unreasonable search and seizure just goes into the dustbin of history. It means we're just a step closer to goose-stepping our way into East Germany, where the Stasi conducted these dragnet surveillances with impunity. And people think I'm being melodramatic, but what the hell is the difference? I would beg. I know we got the neocons and the statists who listen to our show, too. I would beg them to call in We don't screen the calls. Sometimes we get in trouble for not screening the calls. I would beg them to call in at the same call-in numbers, the 858-683-1326, 502-805-0334. I would beg for any of the statists, socialists, or neocons that listen to our show every week. We see the numbers. We see the IP addresses. We know you listen. I'd beg them to call in and tell me what's the difference between what we're doing and what East Germany did. I don't think they can give an answer. Not a good one.
I just think percentage-wise that we're behind them, but we're catching up fast. And so the only thing that comforts me is we still have the numbers to fight back.
Correct. You have the numbers. And, I mean, again, if you look at things that are out there, I mean, I work in communications, I work in IT, and our good friend Chatterman talks about, you know, do skip traces as part of their job. I mean, if they can do all this, and we're private, can you imagine what the NSA can't do? There's nothing that they cannot do. And you always hear people say, either A, well, my conversations will be boring. I got nothing for them to listen to. Or they'll go from one ditch to the other. They can't keep the car between the ditches. They'll go to the other extreme and say, well, what do you got to hide? Why don't you want to listen to your conversation? I mean, and this Stasi was old school. I mean, the modern high-tech surveillance state is infinitely more effective. And it's going to be used to monitor the political attitudes of Americans in dragnet fashion. It's going to ferret them out for persecution. Go ahead, Frank.
Well, think about it. When you're texting with somebody, it's all in writing, so they don't have to. What's it called when you take a verbal conversation and put it in, you know, in writing form? When you're writing it out for them, you've provided them with a transcript of your conversation. And look at how much what we do online is. With texting, messaging, or whatever.
Yep.
And then the technology exists today. They can just put your voice conversation through the software and get 90% of it right.
I know.
And if they really want to listen to it, then they can go listen to it.
I know. It's not much of a difference there. And that's why I said we kind of run the gamut, because I know we started talking about what the government did at Waco, and we got back to our local issue, but it all comes in together. It's telling them you can't have the guns you want, you can't grow the hemp you want, you can't have your own private conversations. We're going to surveil it all. We're going to survey it. And like I said, they're going to show us that they can show their political muscle. I mean, GPS tracking out of Fourth Amendment, it dead ends. You have the House killing the Fourth Amendment. You have a Supreme Court ruling against the Fourth Amendment. You have NSA's domestic spying. So it's totally out of control. And I hear people all the time asking, what can we do? I know Ed comes to the airwaves here and says all the time, what can we do? And I keep telling people, you've got to protest. You've got to stand up. You've got to scream loudly. You got to get the word out there. The mainstream press won't talk about these issues. And I'm talking about ABC, CBS, PMSNBC. I'm talking about and the Fox Newses and the Clear Channels. They don't give you any of this. It's all fluff. Public relations is now masquerading as journalism. There are two divisions of journalism today. It's public relations and activism. Oh, I'm telling you to skip the public relations and the journalism side of it. I'm telling you to go straight into the activism, and that's what you got to do. And we're very thankful that that Frank is calling us from the People's Republic of Vietnam, 60, 70 miles from us here in the underground bunker in Louisville, Kentucky. And we're glad he called in to talk about these issues, because it's official. The Fourth Amendment is dead. And every now and then you'll see these kilo articles, United States of America, 1776 to, and then you'll see the dash, and you'll give them another year that supposedly the United States died. And we give all these examples of the different ways that the United States has died. We've seen what they do when it comes to, we've seen going all the way back to the Articles of Confederation when I started this show, we see when it came out, 1862, the unbacked paper money, 1947, the Truman Doctrine of Perpetual War began. We see them seizing places, whether it be in Waco, Texas, like our good friend Andy from the West Side calling in, talked about the issue where the government killed everybody up in the cult in Philadelphia. We've seen what they did with the gentleman. I shouldn't say gentleman because he was killing cops. But we see what they did with the guy in Big Bear Lake, California. Yeah, it's all news entertainment. I mean, my degree's in communications, but then none of this is journalism. There's a reason that our numbers are growing and growing on Blog Talk Radio, and this is where we get in the shameless plug for this network. But I'm very pleased with the hundreds of people who listen on Blog Talk every week and then the ones who listen to the embedded stream over Louisville News and Politics, the people who listen to us on iTunes, the people who listen to us on Stitcher. Because we saw a story that came out today, and I believe this is today over in the Drudge Report. I believe it was talking about how finally that Internet has edged TV news networks as the public source for news. And of course, they had to, because could you imagine when I was a kid, it was Peter Jennings. Remember, he was a Canadian high school dropout. It was old Broken Jaw, Tom Brokaw, and Dan the Lather Rather. Those guys would get on 6:30, and they would tell you every night what they wanted you to think the news was. We did used to call this propaganda. You are correct. And now cable TV might still be king, but 32% of likely voters in the Rasmussen poll from today said that they get their news from cable TV, but then 25% get it from the Internet. I'm still surprised that 24% still get it from network television. I'm surprised the numbers are still that high. The public doesn't trust the mainstream press. And this is why I lump them together, and this is why we get the hate mail from the quote-unquote left and the quote-unquote right, because I will say the same thing about a PMSNBC or a CNN or an ABCBS that I'll say about Fox News and News Corp and Clear Channel. I don't trust the bastards. It's just that simple. Most people are very skeptical of the media, but the Rasmussen poll from today found that the public sees a sharp political bias among reporters, with 41% saying that journalists are too liberal, and another 18% saying they're too conservative. And they all lie and edit the news to favor their own points of view. This is the essence of corruption. This is this fourth estate that we hear about. Not the third estate, the fourth estate. If you go over to the United Kingdom, the journals over there, they make fun of the American news. And if people want to tell you that, oh, it's freedom of the press. Yes, I quoted earlier the First Amendment. And sometimes I just think that sometimes that we have to maybe reiterate it for you. Amendment 1 said, we had to learn this first thing in communication classes at the University of Louisville. It said, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of the people peacefully in order to petition government for a redress of grievances. You see, we talk about those people assembling to petition government for a redress of grievances. That's the kind of stuff we got going on in our state capitals, whether it be Frankfurt or Indianapolis or Nashville. But just don't tell yourself that this is like the freest press in the world, because if you look at this year and you look at what Press Freedom Index, go look it up if you don't believe me. I tell everybody to look this stuff up. Go look up RSF.org, Reporters Without Borders. If you look at freedom of information and where countries rank as the most free of the press, the United States does not even make the top 20. The United States comes in at number 32 when it comes to press freedom. And you can't even rank these attributable to dramatic political developments. It's a better reflection of attitudes and intentions of government towards media freedom in the media or long term. So this is why we keep telling people to come out here and listen to us. We're on the airwaves Sunday night through Thursday night on the My View Matters Radio Network here on blogtalkradio.com. Again, you can listen to us on Stitcher. You can listen to us on iTunes over there at Louisville News and Politics. Sunday night is our good friend Ken Moman, who comes to the airwaves with Liberty Unbridled. Ken is a former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Kentucky. He is seeking that position again, he tells me. On Monday and Tuesday nights, we have Big Ed Springsteen, who runs this network, and Ed Martin. Ed Martin was a Libertarian candidate for Congress. Then on Wednesday nights, Ed comes back with Ed Springsteen's show, where I co-host. So we come back here on the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, on Thursday nights. We welcome you to send in comments to us. We welcome you to send us correspondence. If you don't like something that we're saying, let us know. Ed will always tell people to contact him over at Louisville News and Politics. Call us 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern, Sunday through Thursday night. It's usually open phones. From times we'll have a topic, and other times it's just free reign. And again, we are ranked very much at the bottom when it comes to freedoms. And I just read this to you. When it comes to freedom of the press, we're ranked 32nd in the world. So that would be nice to aspire to get back at the top. But just don't go around lying to yourself, because that's what you have to do, is lie to yourself if you totally believe we're at the top of freedoms in this world. Because we simply aren't. Here's the thing. On the internet, you can quickly and easily fact check in depth from multiple, even contradictory sources. So that's why I said it's a lot different from when I was studying communications and I was working my way up, cutting my teeth on politics in the 1990s, when there was no internet. There was only CNN. There were no blog talk shows. There were no MP3 files. There were no archives. Like, you can go back and listen to the archives of our shows. But you have this at your disclosure. A friend of mine talked about how most of the stuff on the internet, he gave the percentages. He said less than maybe 2% was good, valuable information, because there's a lot of fluff out there too. But you can go out and look it up yourself. This isn't like 20 years ago when you had to go downtown to the main branch of the library and buy transcripts or go through microfiche. You see, folks, this is the reason that we can win. And when I say we, my collective we means people who are on the side of freedom and liberty. It doesn't mean left wing or right wing. It means people who are on the side of more freedom, more liberty. I explain this to folks every week. Remember that the left and the right are working together to keep anyone else out of the process. The German government just recently started work on banning a particular minority political party in their country. This is essentially what the government of our own elected Democrats and Republicans have done here to anyone who is registered independent, libertarian, constitution party, etc. Folks, remember, there is no left or right. There is only tyranny and freedom. It is up to you to stand up on your own 2 feet and say death to the New World Order. Good night, folks.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready. Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!